for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, July the 4th, 2009. Nathan Hobson is the speaker of this service, teaching on So You Want to Cast Out Demons.
Last time I was up here, I shared a lesson on submission. Obedience leads to submission. Being submissive to those who have a rule over you. The whole concept of that message was simply this, that if you want authority in any way, form, or fashion, you have to be under authority. In other words, if you are not under authority, you don't have the platform upon which to deal with the demonic and cast out demons out of anybody. Because if you're not under authority, you're in rebellion. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as idolatry and iniquity. So that's this session here. I'm going to kind of build on that. Now, let me ask you a question. How many in here want to cast out demons? How many of you in here know that that's the first commandment Jesus gave with power? In my name, they shall cast out demons. Well, I might ask the question, why do you want to cast them out? And then we're going to talk about that for a few minutes. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and following, why don't you stand? Everybody else is having you stand. I'll make you stand up too, and then I'm going to sit you down for a while. Okay? Ephesians 4:11. Carla, would you read that for us? 4:11 through 16, I think it is.
For the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to point out one line in that I got a revelation of it one time. Verse 13. This is not the main text, but I just want to share this with you. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And just a day or two before I read that, probably the first time, way back there, about umpteen years ago, I had read John 3:3, where it says that God gives the Spirit without measure unto Christ. Now, I paraphrase that, but that's what it says. John chapter 3, giveth the Spirit unto him without measure. If we are to grow up, now folks, get a hold of this. If we are to grow up to the measure, the stature, or the fullness of Christ, that means without measure. We have the Spirit without measure. And we do, because what? He's in here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, fivefold ministry is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And that's why I wanted that particular passage of Scripture read. My nose is still running. I don't know what it is, but here lately, every time I get up to preach, my nose starts running. I've rebuked it, renounced it, and everything else. Amen. I receive that. Absolutely. Now, a lot of people, you all raised your hands just about when I said, why do you want, or who wants to cast out demons? But you know, I've only found one person that really wanted to be in the deliverance ministry until they tasted of it. Once you taste of it, you don't mind. But if you're outside of it, I was part of the Apostolic Roundtable of Deliverance Ministers for a while. That particular group no longer exists, but there were 26 of us on that roundtable, and that question was asked one day, and only one person in there raised their hand and said, "I wanted to cast out demons." Everybody else in there said, "Casting out of demons found them." And it certainly found me when I was least expecting it, when I was one of those really diehard Christians can't have demons and all that stuff. And I got blasted, if you will, right into the deliverance ministry. I was the only person there. I was leading the Bible study. And I was God's man of faith and power for the hour. And I acted like I knew exactly what I was doing. And I didn't know anything. But we got the demon out. And that's what, if we hadn't got it out, I probably would have never went any farther with it. But it came out. This young lady, I'm not going to go into the whole story, but this young lady, when it was all over, she came to me. She looked up at me. She's just about this tall. She looked up at me and tears running down her face. And she said, "Ever since I got saved, I've wanted to sing." Because at the closing of the deal, we sang, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And she said, "I've wanted to sing that little chorus." And she came up to me. She was singing it. And tears running down her face. And I looked at her and I thought, "Are you going to do something strange again?" I did, I tell you, I did. And anyway, she stopped then and she looked at me and she said, "Ever since I got saved, I wanted to sing that chorus. And every time I tried, it was just like a hand went around my throat and cut it off." And she said, "Praise God, now I can sing my love song to Jesus." I can get pretty emotional in my old age. I remember things like that happened. Now, you may think it's a strange question saying, "Why do you want to cast out demons?" But it's not too strange when you consider the fact that Jesus told us to do it. And I have found that the possibility exists that some have other reasons for wanting to be involved in the deliverance ministry. Others, when in situations they were unable to cope with, found deliverance for themselves and were then called to minister deliverance to others. Understand that casting out of demons is the first, and I've already referred to this, the first power sign to follow the believer, Mark 16:17. "In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues." Don't you think it's strange that speaking in tongues follows right after casting out demons? I wonder what other people who don't believe in tongues do with that. Well, I was visiting with a fellow from a particular group of in the church, and he loved Jesus, but they didn't believe in Sunday school. And I said, "Well, why don't y'all have Sunday school?" And he said, "Well, the fact of the matter is, about the only people that can get to teach Sunday school is women, and we don't believe in women teachers." So I said, "What are you going to do with what Peter said, 'This is that which the prophet Joel spake, in the last day saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and upon my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy.'" He said, "We're going to ignore it." He really did. He said, "We're just not going to pay any attention to that." In other words, they would rather deny that scripture than change their doctrinal position. Now, John Osteen said one time he didn't know why God couldn't call a woman to preach. They're talking machines. I thought he was right. Okay. Others, you know, when people were unable to cope with, found deliverance for themselves, were then called to minister deliverance to others. And I know that that's happened a lot. Excuse me. More often than not, Jesus cast out demons, healed the sick, and then preached the gospel. You see, the power signs, healing, deliverance, and all of that, is what usually draws a crowd. You can have somebody with a proven ministry where healing and deliverance and everything takes place, and people will come. The only thing I know that will draw more people is some of these loosey-goosey, warm, fuzzy prophecy people walking around just giving everybody a good word that makes you want to spit up if you know anything about the gospel. I don't have much patience with that anymore. Now, I believe in all my heart in the prophetic. I have received personal words that were good. But I don't know, I must have received, when I first came into this thing, I don't care where I went, somebody was prophesying over me, and none of it ever amounted to a hill of beans. About the last one I really allowed to do it, not the last time she prophesied over me, but she's about the last one I ever allowed to do it, unless somebody real, I really felt the unction of the Holy Spirit on it, was she prophesied over Janie and I that within 3 months, we were going to have a tremendous financial blessing. Well, that's been about 9 years ago now. I'm still waiting. And that's the way you tell whether a prophet's false or not. If they put a date on it, if they put a time frame on it, and it doesn't happen in the time frame, you better get you some rocks and go hunting them. That's what the scripture says. Yeah. After you get the rocks and throw them, you probably need to repent. Okay. Well, anyway. Now, we want to consider some of the reasons different ones, why different ones want to cast out demons. Hopefully, to give some practical instructions for success. Now, our scripture text actually is one of my favorite passages, one of my most quoted passages in the Bible, Luke 10, 17 through 20. Talked about it in both of my other sessions. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you. Now, he didn't say, I gave you. He said, I give you. I want you to notice that. In other words, it's an ongoing thing. It's not a once for always thing. I didn't give it to you once. I give you power, authority, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And that's quoted a lot in deliberate circles. But I like that next verse that follows it just as much. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Glory to God. That's the most important thing for us personally and individually, is to know, have the assurance that our names are written in heaven. Oh, that's wonderful. Now, remember, though, that the ministry of deliverance is needed in the church. And so many of the churches and different denominations, even full gospel, so-called full gospel churches, I will say something a little bit derogatory here, I guess. I don't know of any genuine, 100% full gospel church. I know a lot that are striving to be, and praise God for them. But I guarantee you, if you take your scriptures and go to about any church there is that claims to be full gospel, you can find some place where they're not preaching the full gospel. May not have anything to do with deliverance or healing or anything else, but just other matters, okay? So we endeavor in our church to be a full gospel church. We have a large church in our town called a full gospel church. And I think in all of their heart, their sincerity and everything, they seek to be a full gospel church. But I promise you this, if you walked in there and started talking about casting out demons, they'd show you the door. And it's a good church, and the people in that church love Jesus. Well, at the Second World Congress on Deliverance, which I had the privilege to attend with Brother Frank, and as well as the Apostolic Roundtable, this statement was made. Now, this was about 8 or 10 years ago when this took place. Maybe even longer than that. I'm not sure. I was there, but I don't remember what year it was. But here's what was said. Every revival in the past century only lasted about 4 or 5 years. Well, Pensacola lasted, I think, about 6 years or something like that, didn't it? And that was a tremendous revival. I went to that. I enjoyed it. Was blessed by it. But everyone, about 4 to 5 years, is about as long as they've lasted. Except the Argentine revival. And you can get find the history of that back there, picking up Pablo Batari or the other guy's name. I know it's right back there close to the cash register. Can't think of his name right now. The boat and nuts sailman. Carlos Anacondia. Carlos Anacondia. They immediately, when he began, and he's just a layman. He's not a big time preacher. He's a big time preacher, but he's not. I'll just pass that. Amen, brother. Anyway, he began immediately incorporating deliverance with evangelism. Pablo Batari, who was a Baptist layman, later became the head of the deliverance tent. But before he ever started a meeting, Carlos Anacondia would say, "Listen to me, Satan." Any of you ever read that book back there? That's the title of it. "Listen to me, Satan." And he would bind, and demons would begin to manifest. And they had stretcher bearers and people and ushers who would take those people into the deliverance tent and get the demons out. And then bring them back and get them saved and all that, and then bring them back into the congregation. That revival, the last I knew at this time, had been going on for 18 years. Now that shows you the importance of deliverance. And it is a part of the Great Commission without any argument. But that is the only ministry up to that time that used deliverance as a part of their evangelistic efforts. Now, I want to share pretty quickly with you three things about if you want to cast out demons. The first is the why. Well, under why, the first thing we need to look at is to have the right reasons. The right reasons. Now, the first of the right reasons is simply it's because Jesus said to do it. You don't really need any other reason except that, but he said to do it. Mark 16:17. "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues." Now, Jesus said to do it. The second reason is because if you're truly born again, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. In Romans 5:5, he says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." You cannot have the Holy Spirit in your life in his fullness without having a big baptism of love somewhere along the way. And if you don't love people, if you don't care about people, don't even attempt to do any kind of deliverance ministry or evangelistic ministry or anything else. Because if you're just trying to make a reputation or count numbers or something like that, it's just not right. It's not even good. Love is the thing that should motivate every one of us to everything we do. Now, sometimes I get a little harsh with people, and sometimes the older I get a little bit more harsh. I get harsh with my kids. I never abused them, but if I loved them so much, if they were doing something wrong, I didn't mind getting in their face. And we need to do that. Well, as a pastor, and I pastored that one church for 18 years, I got in some folks' faces time to time. And the older I get, nobody's going to jump on an old booger like me, whip me so I can do it now with impunity. Well, no, there might be somebody that want to haul off and hit me. I don't know. They might. But if they do, I'm going to call Gerald and have him come be my bodyguard. Is that right? Oh, now, Gerald, I don't believe that. But Romans 5:5, as I said, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So if we are operating in love, then we have the second reason why we should be ready to cast out demons. The third reason is because you want to see people set free. If you love people and you see people that are bound up, all bound up and can't be free, and they just struggle and struggle, and you've tried counseling and everything else. Now, I quit counseling several years ago because I found out that 95% of the people who wanted you to counsel them only wanted agreement with their position. So you know what I do when people need counseling? I say, "You'll find you a Christian psychologist. Now, if you want demons cast out, I'll do it. But if you want somebody to pat you on the head and tell you how mistreated you are, get a life. Become responsible. 90% of the people in the church today don't want to be responsible for anything, much less their own actions and attitudes. See, I told you I'd get harsh every once in a while. Now, but if you love people and you really want to see them get free, there's nothing more satisfying to a minister to see people really get free and stay free. Now, I may come back to that end of it a little bit later. Now, that's the right reasons. That's three of the right reasons. I'm going to give you two wrong reasons. The wrong reason, number one, is the thrill and or curiosity of the supernatural. And there are a lot of people that want to get involved in this ministry because they're all excited about the supernatural. Now, in a meeting like this, generally speaking, I don't know about here at Lake Hamilton, but in most places, if you announce that you're going to have a spiritual warfare meeting or deliverance meeting or anything like that, you're going to have some people from the other side show up parading as Christians. And they're here to cause division, cause trouble, and everything else. And if you're in here today and you're here under the assignment of Satan, I command you right now to zip your mouth shut and listen in the name of Jesus. Because we're not here to play games with you. We're here to preach the Word of God. We're here to see people set free. And we don't want none of your junk being poured out. And the thing of, you know, one person could walk in this room and quench the Spirit of God. One person has that much, in the wrong spirit, can do that. Especially if the leadership in the church, the minister, or whoever's teaching or leading or whatever, does not recognize and discern that. And the gift of discernment has been so relegated to the back burner, if you will, for so long that most people don't know it if it's working. The thrill and curiosity of the supernatural. And there's always those people. Now, ladies, I'm not against you, but it's usually more in the female species that the people late. You know why? I can tell you why that is. It's not anything unnatural because women are about 10 times more spiritually sensitive than men are. And if they're hungry for some kind of spiritual experience, many times they can be deceived very easily. I'm not against women at all. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I raised 5 girls. Well, 6 really, because Janie was still just a girl when we got married. She's still my girl, too. She's still my girlfriend. She's sweet. I love her. Thrill or curiosity of the supernatural, and the second reason, the wrong reason, is for personal glory. You know, Frank Hammond was my mentor. I never met a man who was more humble, more probably the most realistic Christian man I ever met in my life. He was just so gentle. You know, when he first started into deliverance, you know, they had all the bizarre stuff, people crawling around like snakes on the floor, all of that. But Frank learned that you don't have to do that. You know, one of the things, well, I'll get to that in a minute. But he just would not allow, he got where he would not allow Satan to cause people to do that. And he had enough authority. And that's where that word authority comes in. Because you see, if you're going to cast out devils, you don't have to have a loud voice. Some people think you got those demons are deaf. They think a deaf and dumb demon is deaf. That demon ain't deaf. Many times, if you're ministering somebody one-on-one here at the altar or something, all you got to do is just get in their ear. And in a very quiet voice say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to leave her now. Leave him now. I had my Pat. Pat was my first boy preacher that I started training. But he came to church and got saved. And I prayed with him at the altar and I got up and started to walk away. And God said, you're not through. I said, what? He said, go back and cast out a spirit of addiction. I went back over there and knelt down beside him. He was still praying. I got right in his ear and I said, you spirit of addiction, come out of him. Nobody in that church except Pat, me, the devil, or the demon, and God heard that. He got up from that altar about a minute later, totally set free. No withdrawals or anything from drugs. And he had been doing everything that you could do except crack cocaine, and heroin. That was before meth was around. So, All I'm saying is you don't have to scream in their ear. I mean, there's people that will tell you to get your Bible and rub it all over them and beat them with the Bible. That's witchcraft is what it is. Just like Carla said, that's witchcraft. If you are a child of God and you have the Spirit of God resident within you and Jesus is within you, you've got all the authority you need. The only thing is that if you have some besetting sin in your life, just get rid of that before you start doing deliverance. I don't mind telling you, before I came over here, I went back to the trailer right after lunch when I found out I was going to be up here this afternoon, and one of the first things I did was I searched my heart, cleansed myself, prayed, repented of any sin known or unknown. So when I came and I spoke, I could speak with complete authority. And you see, I am a man of faith. A lot of people don't really think that because I don't run around talking about how much faith I have. But I'm a man of faith. And when I say to that demon, go, he's got to go. Because I'm a child of God, I'm a child of faith, and he has to go. And I know that he has to go, so when I give the commandment, I know he's gone. Come on now. I'm telling you how it works, how to make it work, how you can do it. Because you want to cast out demons. And God gave you the authority to do so, and he gave you the commandment to do so. Personal glory is why a lot of people want to get known, well known in this. Now, I don't care if anybody knows me or not. I really don't. I've had people, why don't you write some books? Well, I could. I've probably got enough manuscripts to do it in my file cabinet. Somebody says, Brother Nathan, how do you keep all these messages off? I said, well, I just do it. I'm systematic. Every message, every lesson I teach has a cover sheet on it like this, with the text and the title. Under that has a line where it's used. This message, for example, I used it the first time, the 15th of September in 2000, Friday, at a meeting. The second time and the only other time I ever used it was June the 5th of 2005. And Slayton, Texas, the first time was in the home church. I have that record. And I've got over about 700 of those in my filing cabinets at home. And I make a hard copy of everything I do. Plus the fact that for 18 years I recorded everything. I got boxes of cassette tapes. And I keep them. Because if I were to lose some of these, I can go back to those tapes and find them. Okay? Now, why are you so systematic, you might ask? So I can keep what works, the good stuff. Now, I might have got some there that I wouldn't dare pull out and use again. I don't want to do that. Okay. Now, that was the why. Now, the how. How do you do it? The first thing is the right methods. Now, there's a lot of different methods, and a lot of people use different methods, and I'm not saying this one's right and that one's wrong and all that. All I'm saying is that if it works, it's okay to use it. But you don't have to, you know, to scream in people's ear and use witchcraft, you know, by beating them on the head with a Bible or anything like that. Some people think you got to hit them in the stomach because Wigglesworth hit somebody in the stomach one time and got rid of a tumor. Sometimes you want to hit them in the mouth. But the right methods. Now, the right methods, I've already referred to it because I talked about what I did this afternoon. But search your heart. Make sure that there's not any unconfessed sin in your life. Be clean so that nothing would be a hindrance to what you want to do in this. And the second thing is to bathe it in prayer, which I did that. I prayed over this lesson this afternoon. Now, if you want the anointing in the ministry of doing it, you better have everything bathed in prayer. You better have confessed and bathed it in prayer and be ready. The third thing is to be considerate of the candidate. Never, 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 beloved, abuse the person that you're praying for. Be careful about that. Be considerate of them. Be very gentle with them. Now, sometimes they don't want you to be gentle with them, but you be as gentle as you possibly can with them. And if they start getting wild, just say, Spirit, I command you to cease and desist and be still right now. Only don't say it loud like that. You don't have to. Just be still. Quieten down. Because you're coming out anyway, whether you want to or not. See, I believe that with my whole heart. If I tell that spirit to go, it's got to go. And you've got to have that kind of confidence if you're going to do it. But be considerate of the individual. Be gentle with them. Be tender with them. And I know that most of you around here are that way. Most of the ones that I know anything, well, all the ones I know anything about. The next thing is to be motivated by love. Again, there that love thing comes back. And again, Romans 5:5, God has shed his love abroad in your heart. He has poured his love into you. Now you be a funnel or a bucket that you can pour that love on out on whoever you're ministering to. Just love them. Sometimes the quickest way to get them to really submit to deliverance is to just love on them. Hug them. Everybody said, oh, you don't ever do this, but I was up in Colorado Springs at that second World Congress, I think it was. They had a group of us. They had teams of us upstairs in the classrooms doing ministry in the afternoon. We were given 15 minutes with each candidate. And there were always two of us in the room. And there was a doorkeeper. And at 10 minutes, he would stick his hand in the door and hold up that. That meant, well, I had 5 minutes more to minister to that person. And this little girl, she was a beautiful young girl, just probably 19 or 20 years old. And the Lord said, you need to hold her in your lap. Well, that's just strictly a no-no to touch a female when you're ministering to people. I said, God, He said, no, I want you to hold her in your lap and just put her head on your shoulder and pray for her. And I did, and then I cast the demons out of her, and she got free. I can't tell you what she looks like or looked like. Nothing about her. But I know one thing. The minute I put her in my lap and I put her head on his shoulder, she started crying. And she got healed. A lot of rejection that she had in her life. I can tell you story after story about up there and other places that we ministered like that. But that's the only time I ever did that. So, unless you're a guy, and a little guy at that, I hope the Lord don't tell me to hold you in my lap. But it's all right. I mean, it was motivated by love. At the same time, while you're motivated by love and you're considerate of the candidate, you need to be firm and factual as much as possible. Know, and that comes back to this thing of knowing who you are in Christ. If you know who you are, if you believe his word when he said, in my name you shall cast out demons, and you believe that, and you believe that he's given you the authority to do it, you don't have to just be firm. But, you know, you mamas know how to speak firmly to your children without screaming at them. Come on now. And mama, if you scream at your kids, I'll rebuke that in you in the name of Jesus Christ. Your kids don't need to be screamed at. Now, this old pastor, I'd get real tough about that. I might whip the mama for doing it. No need for that. No need for that. You say, well, you quit preaching now and started meddling. Well, I probably did. Firm and forceful. And you must speak authoritatively. Which basically is about the same thing as what I said about firm and forceful. In other words, know who you are and know who you're representing and know that you have his power behind you that flows through you to do this. And then you need to be confident in the Holy Spirit. Confidence in the Holy Spirit. Mark 1:27 says, then they were all amazed so that they questioned among themselves saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. Now they were speaking of Jesus. There in Mark chapter 1, because that's one of the first things Mark records, is casting out of demons. And with authority. Now, do you believe Jesus screamed at the top of his voice at those demons? No, he just spoke, didn't he? Probably no louder than I'm speaking right at this moment. But he spoke with authority. Have you ever had a police officer stop you out on the highway? Now, Carla, but you know, 90% of those officers, I don't know about anywhere else, but in Texas, and there's a few bad ones in Texas too, but about 90% of those, when they walk up to your window, they're very polite, But you know, they mean business. And they speak quietly but authoritatively. Why? Because they represent the law. Well, guess who you represent when you're dealing with the devil? You're representing the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sitkenu, Jehovah Shalom, all of those wonderful compound names that make up God, El Shaddai, Elohim. You're representing, you're God's representative at that place, at that moment, at that time. Now, the Bible tells us that we are ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and following. I believe it is. Isn't that right? 10:5. 5:4. 5:10. Somewhere in there. That's not in my notes, so I didn't have it down. But anyway, we are the ambassadors. Now, an ambassador is not a citizen of the country where he is assigned. He is a citizen. You're citizens of heaven. You say, already? Already. Your citizenship is in heaven. But God has placed us here as ambassadors. An ambassador has the full right to represent his home government to the fullest extent. Yeah, he gets his instructions from the home government. We get our instructions from the kingdom of God, from the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Father God. But we represent them, and so therefore we have the authority. And all of these things I'm talking about, authority, is simply meaning to get you to understand that God has opened up everything and given you the authority to do what he's asked us to do. And if you understand you have that authority, then you can act accordingly. Okay, the wrong methods. Let's talk about the wrong methods a minute. Loud and belligerent. I've seen some people try to do deliverance, and they were loud and belligerent and arrogant and everything else. I know they don't act like that in Kansas City anymore, but some places in Texas they do, some of the folks. But you don't have to be that way. You don't have to be loud. Like I said earlier, even a deaf and dumb spirit's not deaf. You can just speak in a normal voice tone. And again, the whole idea of deliverance and casting out of demons comes back to this full understanding that you know who you are and the authority that you have, and that you have made sure there's nothing that stands between you and God that would hinder. Because, see, if you're full of sin and you're trying to cast out a demon, it ain't going to work, baby. It won't work. Slapping or hitting the person. We talked a little bit about that. So we won't revisit that, but we'll talk about the next wrong method, is unloving to the person. Like, you know, you come here wanting that demon cast out, and I got other things to do, and I just don't want to blah, 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 you know, and make every excuse in the world why you don't want to do that. Come on now. And if you find yourself in that, you just wait, postpone, do whatever you can till you get right. Okay? Now, the other thing, and I said we'd visit this a little later, is allowing bizarre behavior. There's times you cannot stop a manifestation. It'll begin before you even know it's happening. Those things happen. But most of the time, you do not have to allow them to happen. I know that Brother Frank, and he taught us to do this, me and Ron Brunson and Marvin Sistrunk and Kathy Sistrunk and the others, that before you ever begin to cast out the demons, you bind all of them, you tell them right up front, you're not going to throw anybody on the floor, you're not going to scream and holler, you're not going to do anything bizarre, all you're going to do is leave when I say go. And I mean, he served notice. That's the way Brother Frank would do it. He would serve notice on the demons. And consequently, very seldom did we ever see any kind of bizarre behavior begin after he had done that. Now, sometimes those bizarre behaviors start before he would have the opportunity to say that. Then you have to deal with it in a little different way. But you can deal with it. Now, as I say, you may have a different method than what I'm talking about, and I'm not arguing against your method. I'm just telling you what's worked in our time. Another wrong method is for you to operate, as casting out demons, is for you to operate in hope instead of faith. Well, I hope it goes out when I tell it to go. That's not faith. If you've got hope, you know, it's kind of like somebody came to Dad Hagen one time, some lady came up, she wanted healing. He said, do you believe God will heal you? And she said, I hope so. And he said, well, he won't. That's kind of oversimplified, but that's kind of true, isn't it? You got to operate in faith, not in hope. The other thing that some people do, Brother Frank, in the beginning, they would talk to the demons. But he came along, he came to realize, he said, and he told us very emphatically, he said, there's no use in talking to a liar. And he would not allow the demons to speak out. Now, some people do. They talk to them, and I don't know, I've had them talk back to me, and I just tell them to shut up. Had a lady come up, it's right after church one night, we were in the kitchen. And I was kind of at the counter there, and she was on the other side, and she was acting up and trying to manifest. And she started hissing and spitting and spewing, and I started laughing at her. The Holy Spirit just said, laugh at it. Laugh not at her, but at the demon. And I just started laughing. I said, you stupid demon, you can't do anything to her in here. And pretty soon it left. And that's the only time I ever laughed at a demon. But it did. But don't talk to him. I don't. I mean, we don't talk to him. Out of our methodology. Now, if you do and you have success, I'm not going to argue with it. I'm just telling you what works for us. Because usually if you talk to them, what they'll try to do is argue you out of what you're trying to do. They will or get you so confused and they'll end up lasting for 4 hours. Most of the time, the way Brother Frank mentored us to do all this, it doesn't take very long. We've ministered to people maybe 30, 40 minutes, but usually that's about as long as it ever lasts. Because you just have to take authority. Now, if you want to talk to them, that's okay. A lot of people do. But I don't want to. I agreed with Brother Frank before he ever really impressed upon us that I didn't want to talk to a liar. I can talk to enough liars every day out here in the world. I didn't need to talk to demon lying. Amen? Okay, number three. Everybody say, praise God, that's the last point. Coming up. Number three, some practical suggestions. I think I told you the other day about this one church that had gotten into deliverance. And then they called me, and the pastor's uncle told him to call me. Pastor's uncle could have done just as good a job as I did with him. But he said, call me. And so we set up, and we went there and did a three-day seminar type thing there. And every one of the sessions, I would open it for questions and answers because they had been thoroughly abused and mixed up. And one of them one day asked me, said, well, what kind of questionnaire do you use? And I had a copy of the one I use, which is about half to two-thirds of a page. It just asks some very basic questions. And all it does is give if you're going to be one-on-one with somebody, it just cuts out a lot of time. They fill that out, takes them about 10 minutes or 5 minutes to fill that out, and save some time. So they asked me, and I just pulled that out and showed it to them. That's all? Yeah, that's all. Well, they told us, those people that were here told us, and they made us fill out a 39-page interview sheet. 39 legal or letter-sized pages. I can tell you who wrote that, but I won't. Okay? I know who wrote that 39-page interview. There's another fellow a long time ago, years ago, wrote one about that long, and I've got a copy of it. I mean, what happened to trusting the Holy Spirit to give you the gift of discernment to discern what needs to be done? Trusting God, depending upon God. You know, we got people sitting in the church that God uses in discerning of spirits, but you know why they won't let you know about it? Because they found out that if somebody knows that you have a gift of discernment, they're not going to get around you because you might discern something in their life, whether it's really there or not, that they don't want known. And so people are scared to death of those who have the gift of discernment. Well, I want to give you some good news. If you have that, don't worry about telling everybody in the church what you're discerning. Go to the leadership of the church and tell them. And I have one that been sharing with me for a long time. The gift of discernment works in. And when this individual comes to me and tells me something, I began to, I pay attention to what is said. Let me put it that way. And I've never found that individual to be wrong. But nobody else in the church knew that that individual had the gift of discernment. And I caution you about that. Now, if you're ministering somebody and discernment comes forth, that's one thing. But I'm just talking everyday relationship in the church. If somebody is not where they should be or putting on a show or a hypocrite. Now, what's a hypocrite? A play actor, an actor. If they're doing that, and this person discerns that that's what it is, then if you discern that, go to the leadership of the church. And not accusatory, just say, I believe that this is what God has showed me about such and such, and do it. If I'm wrong, please forgive me. If I'm right, handle it. Amen? Okay. Now, again, to allow the demon to talk or not to talk. We really believe that you just tell them to be quiet, don't talk. And, you know, on discernment, that's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:10 says, to another working miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning the spirits. And it goes on to talk about different kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now, that's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. And they're needed. That gift is really, and the word of knowledge is really needed in the Bible, in the church today. It really is. Those gifts are really, all nine of them are needed. But those two in particular. Because many times those two work hand in hand. It's kind of like they're walking down the trail holding hands, you know. Discernment and word of knowledge. And falling one step behind them is the word of wisdom. Okay? Always respect the person's physical body. Now, we talked about that just a minute ago. No slapping or hitting, no abuse in any way. Don't hit them over the head with the Bible. Don't do anything like that. Respect their body and respect their physical body. Now, the last two or three things that you need to understand is to give instructions for filling the rooms. Let me give you scripture. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes about through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house. Notice he says, my house, from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now I want to give you an example of that, of how powerful that passage is. I told about this young woman that got delivered and was able to sing the song. Now, here I am in this, we're in a prayer circle dismissing that meeting. I've never seen this woman before that night. And I've told this story here a long time ago, I know. But anyway, I heard something, I looked up, and her son was on one side and another man, big strong man, on the other side, and they were holding her to keep her from attacking me, I guess. I don't know. She was, you know, like that. I mean, it was not pretty. And she was a very attractive woman, but it was not pretty. And here I am, God's man of faith and power, and I don't even believe this at that time, see. So I step out of the circle, and I step over in front of her, and I didn't know what else to do, so I just began to rebuke it. You know, I'd heard, read a book or two about it, you know, so, you know, if you don't know what to do, do what you heard somebody else do. And I began to rebuke it and command it to leave. Now, see, the point at that point, I didn't really believe it could be happening. But it was. And I believed that it was happening, but it wasn't supposed to happen, I guess is the way to put that. And anyway, so finally she just straightened up and said, everything's okay. I thought, whew. But all of a sudden, I began to pray, and the Lord quickened this passage of Scripture to me. And I began to pray that Scripture. When that spirit goes out of a person, it walks about in dry places. And I got back to where the spirit comes back and finds his house swept clean, garnished, and empty. And I just thought it was bad the first time. This thing went crazy. And all of a sudden, now this is the true story now, all of a sudden, I felt anger. I mean, righteous indignation. Rise up in me like I had never experienced before. I mean, I got mad at the devil. And I didn't scream and I didn't holler, but I was firm. And I told that thing it had to come out, and it was going, and it, I don't care whether it liked it or not, it was out of there. And it came out. Now, there wasn't any real manifestation, you know, coughing or yawning or spitting or anything like that. But when this time, when she looked up, I could see her eyes were clear. So this time I led her and led her to quote that prayer, that scripture, and then to pray and ask God to fill her every place where that demon had been, to fill it with the Holy Spirit. And she did. And that's why she could come, Jerry, and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me." And so I was totally, totally converted and convinced of the validity of the deliverance ministry that night. But it didn't. You know, and it was quite a while before I ever ran into anything like that again. But staying free is so important, too. Not just filling the house, but staying free. Now, one of the things, and I quote this scripture about every message I ever preach, 1 John 1:8-9, and I always quote it in the first person, "If I say I do not sin, I lie and the truth is not in me, but if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness." And I encourage you to memorize that, and memorize it like that in the first person. The scripture says, if we say we do not sin, but I quote it always in the first person because I apply it to me. And folks, if you can't apply the scripture to you, you need to get where you can. Because if it's not applicable to your situation, what good is it? So find what is applicable and apply it. And I do that with 1 John 8:9. Now, there's a lot of other scriptures that you could use as well. But to stay free, I see a lot of people who want to be free, but they don't stay free. Does anybody besides me ever see that? Do you know why they don't stay free? Because they won't stay clean. Now, always, if you're going to minister deliverance to somebody, always, if possible, not always possible if a demon manifests, but if possible, always lead that individual in self-cleansing, where they can search their heart and cleanse themselves. Same way with healing. Don't expect to get healed if you've got sin in your life that you're not willing to get rid of. Don't expect to get healed. Or if you don't expect to stay healed. You know, I had a man one time that came and he said, "I just really need to quit smoking." So I just prayed and I said, "God, he wants to quit. I just ask you right now, every time he lights one up, just make him sicker than a dog bite." Man, it did. But he just kept trying until he finally got where he could smoke again. He came back. I said, "I ain't praying for you no more." Was I being too hard? Now, if I would have been convinced that he would really try to walk it out this time, yeah, I would have. But there's no point in wasting. Hey, well, let me put it this way. Sometimes we have to be careful about casting our pearls before swine. And so if you've got somebody that they just continually coming up for deliverance or healing or whatever, and they won't clean their life up, clean their act up, you know, you're just wasting your time and theirs. I had a young man come one time from Georgia, all the way out to Amarillo, Texas, and he wanted deliverance. And I met him and his stepfather, and we had lunch and went out and got in my van and talked for a few minutes, and I said, "So you want deliverance?" And he was bisexual. And I asked him, "Now, it's a prerequisite that you be born again. You want to accept Jesus as your Savior?" He said, "No." And I said, "Then, hey, we're wasting our time. Because deliverance is the children's bread. That simply means that you've got to be in the family of faith if it's going to work for you." And that's why we always need to ascertain where somebody is spiritually. Now, this woman that night, she had shared her testimony during the session before. So I knew she had confessed Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. One fact, at one time, she'd been incarcerated in a mental institution as an incurable schizophrenic. And somebody got in there and got through the haze and led her to Jesus. She improved so drastically that they released her. And she was back in college. But she still had some of those spirits. You know, sometimes some spirits will leave at salvation. Not always, not all of them. All right. I pray that what we've shared with you this afternoon will help you in ministering deliverance to the captives and setting them free. The great commission that the Lord Jesus received, His commission from the Father, is found in Luke 4:18-19, where He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed," or as the King James Version says, "bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, that was the commission that the Father gave Jesus. I mean, in that little passage of Scripture is a full orders that He had to come here to do. And maybe you agree with that or don't, but that's okay. But He declared His mission on the earth in that statement. As His body, and He is our head, we are to what? To continue to carry out that mission. Exactly the way it's written. We are to do it with the same love and compassion that He displayed as He went about and ministered deliverance and healing to the people. And notice that as you read through the Gospels, that He always delivered and then healed. Not always, but 90% of the time, or large majority of the time, I'll put it that way. Before He ever started ministering healing to people, He cast out demons. Some places where He's a large crowd, it said He cast out demons and healed the sick. So that's important. It's important when we're dealing with healing that we understand that many sicknesses are spirits of infirmity. And we need to always be ready to, you know, it's like Brother Frank always said, if it ain't there, it won't come out. In fact, if it ain't there, it can't come out. Cast out that spirit of infirmity before you ever pray. Also, before you ever pray, just point blank ask, have you got unconfessed sin in your life? Because if they got unconfessed sin, chances are they got demons. And if you do, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you got the authority to cast it out. I mean, if it wasn't, then there wouldn't be no need. If you didn't have authority to cast it out, then what are we doing anyway? But if you do, and sin is not dealt with, then it can come back and bring seven more with it. So the second state of that person is worse than the first. So it's important, see, that we understand these things. So, you know, because everybody in here is to be a minister and healing and deliverance. It didn't say these signs shall follow special people. Jerry and Carlin, and Brother Ron, and, you know, and Tom. And it said, who? These signs shall follow who? Them that believe. Are you a believer? Then you have the authority to cast out demons. And I found out a long time ago, too, that if I have the authority to cast out demons and all of a sudden I recognize something in me that is demonic, you know what I do? I cast that sucker out. I say, you spirit of whatever it is, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to get out of me. And then I'll take a big deep breath and blow it out or cough or spit up or something, you know. Just get rid of it. Because when I first came into this after that lady, that first lady, see, I didn't know Brother Frank then. Yeah? And I was ashamed to go see him because I'd talked so bad about him. But I began to learn over a period of a few years there that I could take authority over it. And then I got the real truth about forgiveness. When I went through the forgiveness cleansing, then I was been going upward ever since. Now, you say, Brother Nathan, you ever slid back? Yeah. If I say I don't sin, I lie, and the truth is not in me. But do I have to sin? No. If I sin, it's because I choose to sin. Now, see, I got saved in Baptist church and got licensed to preach in Baptist church, and I'm not against the Baptists. Bless their hearts, at least they're evangelistic. But you know what? I do have one problem. Well, I'm just a poor sinner saved by grace. I just want to puke when I hear that. Why? Because I was a sinner, but now I'm a new creation. old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And I'm not going to live, this, I'll just put it this way, I'm not going to live in Romans chapter 7. I'm going to live in Romans chapter 8. Why? Because it says, there is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Who, what, do what? Do what? A lot of those new translations I don't care much for. I do like the New King James, and I use it mostly anymore. But it pretty well leaves everything in there. Now, let me see where I'm at. Jesus went about and ministered deliverance and healing to the people. Can you and I do anything less if we really are His body and we're walking in that commission that He has? Luke 4:18 and 19. We cannot just sit on our blessed assurance and hope that this deliverance ministers will come along and get those things out. It's up to you and I. It's up to every one of us in this room. If you're a believer, it's up to you to do it. Okay? It is within our power to do the works that He did. John 14:12 is the promise. Love is the motive. Freedom for the captives of the purpose. Now, what's John 14:12? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Now, I used to read that verse 12. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these. And I tried everyone in the world to explain that away. I'm just being honest with you about it. Well, you know, we can't do anything greater than what Jesus did in quality, but we can in quantity. And that's true. There's a truism there because there's a whole lot more of us. He was limited in his earthly time here to a little area about 300 miles long, somebody said, and not very wide. But we're not limited like that. We can go all over the world today. And we've got brothers and sisters all over the world. And we can do it a lot more quantity if we dare to believe what He says about us. Come on now. If we dare to believe what He says about us and what He told us we could do. Okay. These signs shall follow them that believe. I'm a believer. Are you a believer? Then get ready. Are you ready to go do the stuff? We'll go do it. All right. We're going to have a little bit of time here to maybe do a little coming out party, have a little coming out party. Won't you stand for a moment? Say this prayer with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, whom I serve with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my body, I serve you, Lord. If everything that is within me. And right now, I confess all sin, known or unknown. I confess that I have failed in many ways in times past to carry out your great commission. You told me, as a believer, I could cast out demons, that I could lay hands on the sick, and they would recover. Lord, I want to see that done in my life in order to bring glory, honor to you, for you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, that I might have life, and not life everlasting. That I might have power to do the work that you were commissioned to do, which you in turn gave us to do. So therefore, we will do what you have called us to do. And we thank you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now you may sit down. Now I'm going to lead you in one more little prayer. And I just want you to say this with me. I confess the sins of my forefathers. Ask for forgiveness. Knowing that the iniquities of the fathers are passed on to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. I confess and repent each and every sin that I have committed, known or unknown, and I accept Christ's forgiveness. Jesus has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Now I choose the blessing and reject the curse. I repent of every broken oath or promise that I made to the Lord, and ask for that curse be lifted from me as I become obedient to His commandments. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the power of every evil curse that has been spoken against me. I cancel the force of every prediction spoken about me, whether intentionally or carelessly, that contradicted God's promised blessing. I repent of the curses against myself that have come out of my own mouth. I repent of that, and I break the curse of it in Jesus' name. Last thing, I forgive every person who has ever wronged me, abused me, lied to me, about me, or spoken evil of me. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I take over every unclean spirit and assignment against me and cast them forth now. Okay. Now I speak to every spirit, every unclean spirit in this room. And I tell you right now, when the order comes to go, you will go. You will not throw anybody down on the floor. You will not cause any untoward behavior. But you will leave when the command is given. For I am a man under authority, and I have authority, and I declare to you that you will have to leave when the word is given. And you will leave peacefully and quietly. You will not manifest in any kind of bizarre way. And I command that of you in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. Y'all believe that? Some of you didn't say amen like you believed it. Okay. I think the first thing we're going to deal with is things that most of us probably had a whole lot to do with, but it's the occult, spirits of the occult. All spirits of the occult, I command you right now, you will leave in Jesus' name. I say to you, I tell you right now, come out in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Now take a big, deep breath and blow it out. Cough, yawn, do something. That's your part. That's faith on your part saying, in effect, I am expelling you out of my life. All spirits connected with tarot cards. Tarot cards. Anybody in here ever play with tarot cards? You ready to get rid of that spirit? All spirits connected with tarot cards in any way, I command you to leave right now in Jesus' name. Now you go right now. Come out. Come out. Go. Now in Jesus' name. Anyone else? You've been involved with tarot card. What about the horoscope? Did you ever stop to wonder why they called it the horoscope? You know, God help us. Devil's got so much junk, counterfeit junk that floats around. Did you ever notice that? Counterfeits to everything, really. Trying to counterfeit everything. Okay. The Ouija board. Now I know there's more than just one that's played with the Ouija board. Say, I repent. I rebuke all the Ouija spirits. I command them to leave right now. in the name of Jesus. Go now. Now take a big deep breath and cough it out, blow it out, whatever is necessary. You know, when I was a kid, we got into the Ouija board. Of course, I've gone through deliverance for that years and years ago now. But anybody here have been involved in table knocking? Table knocking? It's where people will sit around the table and place their hands on it, and they'll ask it a question, and it'll bounce up and down. Okay. My family, one of my uncles really got into that big time. And they were all over at our house one time at a reunion, and they got everybody around the table and started doing that. And I said, oh, somebody's lifting that table up. I was this little guy. So you know what I did? I crawled down between their legs, and I got under to see who was pushing that table up, and there wasn't anybody under there pushing that table up. But it was going up and down. Made a believer out of me. Now, at that time, I didn't know it was evil, and I didn't participate in it other than just to see it. But I'm just telling you, it was real. So, all table-knocking spirits. Come on, say this. All in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. Right now. Get out of me. I expel you. In the name of Jesus, go. Take a big, deep breath and blow it out. Go, go. Now, when I'm doing self-deliverance, when I blow, I go, so it don't hurt you to hear it either. I think I said the other day that Brother Frank Marzullo, that's the way he usually did deliverance. He was a wonderful man of God. Okay, anybody ever been involved in automatic writing? That's where you just sit down, close your eyes, and just begin to write and write out all kinds of stuff. Now, you can do that prophetically under the Spirit of God. Yeah, you can. I mean, and it's not evil. But the demon's not going to write stuff that's going to glorify God. See? I had a dear friend. He was an elderly gentleman. I always loved to get around the old preachers. Now I are one. But he was a precious brother. I won't go into any details about him. But we had gotten pretty close, he and I had. And then we moved away. When we moved away, moved to Pampa, actually. And I got a letter from him. And he was doing good and everything. And I sat down to answer his letter and started writing it. And the first thing you know, I was prophesying to him. And I've never done that before or since. But I got a letter back from him, and he said, oh, Brother Hobson, he said, thank you so much for that word from God. He said, it just was exactly what I needed to hear at that minute. Now, that's good. See, that's if you're writing, prophesying like that, that's okay. But automatic writing that is used to put forth the devil's agenda is not okay. And that's more prevalent than prophesying that way. Okay? Now, anybody here been involved in automatic writing? Okay. Say this. In the name of Jesus, I cast out that demonic spirit of automatic writing. I tell you right now, spirit, you go. Now. In Jesus' name. Now, cough it out. Now, always remember this. It's another Frankism. That's what I got where I called everything that the two Marzullos said, Frankisms. Brother Frank Hammond always said, if it ain't there, it can't come out. But when in doubt, cast it out. Okay. All right. Did we cast out the spirit of a horoscope all ago, or did we just talk about it? Okay. Crystal gazing. Now, Arkansas's got crystals. If you don't believe it, just drive down that highway over yonder going west, Hot Springs, and there's shops everywhere. If you get out and play with them rocks, they'll cut your finger right open. But some people use crystals and for magical purposes. You done that too? I tell you, you're going to feel 100 pounds lighter when you leave here, girl. You will be. You will be. Amen. I cast out of me. Come on, say it. All crystal gazing spirits. Spirits that try to predict the future through the gazing of crystals. I command you right now, go in Jesus' name. Now take a big deep breath, cough, yawn. Astrology, which is kin to horoscope. Anybody ever got infatuated by astrology? Okay. Say, I cast out of me All spirits of astrology. In the name of Jesus. You have to go. Now. Take a big deep breath and blow it out. Do what? Well, in the name of Jesus, cast it out then. Thank you. All spirits of astrology, you have to go in the name of Jesus. What about Dungeons and Dragons? Maybe 200 pounds lighter. Bless your heart. You're getting free, girl. Say, I cast out of me. All affiliation with Dungeons and Dragons and all that occult stuff that's tied to it. Witchcraft and all of that. In the name of Jesus Christ, I cast you out of me. Right now, you go. Take a big deep breath and blow it out. Now we're going to only do two more. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on either one of these, okay? Say, I cast out of me all spirits that entered into my life through black magic. I command you in the name of Jesus to go from me and never come back. Now, take a big deep breath and blow it out. Now, say this. In the name of Jesus, I cast out of me all spirits of white magic. I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. I take a big deep breath and blow it out. Okay. Now I want you to say this. Father God, in the name of Jesus, fill every area of my life where these spirits have left with your spirit, the Holy Spirit. Cleanse. Just fill up, overflowing the Spirit of God, that I may be delivered totally and set free. And I thank you for it. I ask you for it in the name of Jesus, whom I serve. And Jesus, say it real loud, and Jesus is my Lord. Amen. Now give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I have been known, and I didn't chase any rabbit trails today, but I'm going to chase one right quick just so I keep my reputation intact. I just thought of it there at the last when I said, had you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord. You see, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 2, I believe it is, it says, nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. I'm paraphrasing it, but you can look at it. No one can say he is accursed or anathema who has the Spirit of God. Well, this guy and I, we were out knocking doors and talking to people about Jesus. And we came to this one house, and this guy came to the door, and we started talking to him. And I asked him if he knew the Lord. He said, well, I believe in God. I said, well, have you ever prayed? And he said, yeah. He said, I go out in cotton field and pray. He worked out on the oil. He was a roughneck on the oil rig. And I guess it was discernment. All of a sudden, I said, do me a favor. And he said, what? And I said, say Jesus is Lord. And you know, he'd twist his mouth. He could not say the name of Jesus. Now, I guarantee you, out on the rig the next day, when he used it as a cuss word or a byword, he could say it. But in the presence of the Holy Spirit with me and that other brother, he could not even say the name of Jesus. He never did get out Jesus as Lord because he never did get Jesus out. I just wanted to share that with you because it's interesting. And you may run into situations sometimes that you need to do that. And I've done that a lot. That's the only one that was ever that obvious that he couldn't. We never did get him to pray either. Anyway, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, as we end this session, and Father, we pray that you would just minister health to our bodies, prepare our bodies to be more useful for you than ever before. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.